Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is my friend, Mr. Ali Issa. He's the managing director of Istamco, and he's based in Dakar in Senegal. First and foremost, Ali, very good to see you and welcome to this interview.
Thank you for having me, and very good to see you again, Bill.
Likewise. I always allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit about their career, and you have been all over the place. But for our viewers who don't know you, how come you are in logistics, Ali? Why are you not sitting in a bank or working as a bus driver or a port captain?
It is a complete coincidence, actually. I wasn't supposed to be in logistics, but it's a complete different world. Which I stepped into 25 years ago, but to be honest, initially it was a coincidence. It was mainly establishing a business for rolling equipments, handling equipments, selling and rental. And you know, before you know it, you step into the port, you discover that world, and you're stuck in there.
Yeah.
25 years later.
Yeah, no, I know the feeling. Logistics, sometimes we have to explain to people whether we sell ships or whatever, you know, but it's actually the backbone of world trade. So we are in the right place. What can you tell our viewers about Istamco? What does it mean? Is that an abbreviation? Is it your company? What does the company do?
The company, the name comes from my family name. It's a family company. It's
okay.
The I is for Issa, which is my family name, and the rest of the world is just a translation of French words related to logistics, which is handling, agency, stevedoring, and that type of words. So abbreviation, it comes to Istamco down there. Old-fashioned French school style. The company is port related activities. We actually cover mostly everything which is related to port, from agency, Schindler services, custom brokerage, logistics, handling, transportation. But we throughout the years we've developed the company to become a little bit you know, oriented towards logistic engineering. So what we do is that we are focused. We do the whole services related to a port, normal services, normal port calls, but we are mostly specialized in heavy lift and project cargo and turnkey projects.
Right.
So we are tooled with the equipment, the right people, the right manpower, the right knowledge to handle large-scale logistical projects, heavy lift projects, complex projects. So that is mainly our main domain of focus.
Okay. Yeah, because you know, we hear in the market a lot of people calling themselves Africa experts, even some of the mega forwarders out there, and then it turns out that they don't have boots on the ground. They are using companies like you. So how would you define, I mean, you are in Dakar, Senegal, which is, I suppose, West Africa. What countries can you reasonably cover from there with your relationships on the ground?
Yeah, the world is a small village. So, you know, we can cover all of West Africa, technically everywhere in Africa. I mean, we have networks, we have relationships, we have agreements with agencies all over Africa. Mainly, we have a lot of involvements in West Africa. So countries like Ivory Coast, like Guinea-Conakry, like Togo, Lomé, are places where we have partners.
Yeah.
And you rightfully mentioned, actually, the one of the issues growing Africa is facing is that we are stuck in an environment which doesn't have the proper international reputation. So if I'm out in the market to charter a ship, regardless how big is my company and how solid it is, it's a little bit more challenging than any freight forwarder in Europe who could be a lot smaller in terms of personnel, turnover, whatever, name it, but they can get access to the cargo or get access to chartering or whatever a lot easier.
Yeah.
So indeed, we find ourselves in a way that we work ourselves to major freight forwarders around the world whenever they have a complex project, they knock on our door. In reality, they have no feet on the ground, they have no investments around here, and they need somebody to deal with it. So being large industrial projects, oil and gas, mining. Most of the important freight forwarders worldwide, they knock on our door and they get quotations, they get the job, and we do it in partnership. But we are not seen as the main player. So
Right,
that is the
right.
unfortunate part of it.
Right. Now, hopefully that perception will change when the outside world finally wakes up that our continent, where I'm sitting here in Europe, we are the one going downhill. We don't have to teach others too much nowadays. So,
Exactly. I fully agree.
we are actually going down very fast. And let's say we are no longer a major player on the, at least not the political scene. How about in West Africa now? I also understand that you are working hard with some of the interior countries. I mean, Senegal has a coastline. What do you do when you go beyond the coastline? Mali, these kind of, let's say, hard to get to places. Is that something you can do in transshipment via Dakar or elsewhere?
Yeah, correct. This is mainly what we do most of the time. We have enclave countries like Mali, for instance, which is a large country, doesn't have a port access to the sea, and Mali is mainly supplied by Senegal and Ivory Coast. There's two main road lines which connect that country. Technically, 60% of imports to Mali go through Port of Dakar. And also that goes into mining, that goes into larger scale projects. So yeah, we do regularly inland transportation to Bali, being normal container traffic, but also heavy lift. As an example, there has been a French cement plant which has been established in Mali recently. It belongs to the Vicat Group. They have a lot of cement plants around West Africa, and that plant has been transported, let's say, all the heavy lift components and equipment which was needed to build that plant was transported by us. So oversize, overweight, name it. So yeah, we do Malian transportation regularly. Other ports, although they can have access to sea, but they do not have the proper port infrastructure. Let's say Guinea-Bissau, which is a very small port, very complicated port. They don't have enough load bearing, enough capacity on the quay. Sometimes for some heavy lift transportation, they come through the port of Dakar and we go by land. That also goes for the Gambia, for instance. Certain complex equipments may not be able to go through their own port right away, so they go through the port of Dakar, being a regional hub, and we transport by road. So yeah, we can reach out to any of the countries around, technically by land, yes.
And where do you have your in de facto own offices in these countries? Where do you have your own guys sitting, so to speak?
We do mainly. We are the majority of the company sitting in Dakar for sure. In Senegal, we actually in Senegal we are around 186, I think, last update, people, and we have four different offices. We are established in Senegal in all ports, in the main ports of Dakar, but also secondary ports in the country. We have physical offices. We have also physical office in the Gambia, in Banjul city, and we have a physical office in Bamako in Mali. So yeah, the company spread over three countries, but the main core is in Senegal.
Very good. That's very interesting, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers we have are very interested to know all this. How do you see the interest for West Africa? I mean, there's no doubt that West Africa and parts of Africa overall are filled to the brim with minerals, and it's like a big policy conflict zone for the Chinese, I suppose, are in there also in Senegal, aren't they? And with everything from east to west, how do you see that development? Are the Europeans and the Americans finally waking up to the African continent, or is it too late?
No, it is. I mean, it's a future continent. It's a growing continent in terms of population, in terms of growth, in terms of demography. It's a very, very large continent, very rich. And actually, it's a very interesting market. Till recent years, it has been a traditional ex-colonial market. Let's say the French goes one side, the Portuguese another side, and the English to another side, and they explore what they can in Africa. And now things are a lot more open to the world. We see a lot of actors interested in actually coming eagerly and strongly to work in Africa, especially Chinese, but not only Indians, Turks, Americans, you name it. Everybody's is fighting to get a piece of the cake. And Africa also is rich in terms of mining, but in the same time, it's a growing country. So, if you visit any European city over 10 years, you would see barely something changing. If you come to a city like Dakar and you monitor it over 10 years, you would see that the whole shape of the city have changed in 10 years. So it's countries which are being rebuilt. Infrastructure is right now being to be set. We just had a train, new airport, arenas, football stadiums. I mean, all kind of infrastructure which does exist in any
Fantastic.
European country is now being built. So definitely, there's interest of all major players around the world.
Fantastic. That's really, really good to hear. And
I need
what
to
would
add also, Bo,
you?
just because recently that particular coast here became oil and gas producer. Senegal became oil producer since early 25, or actually end 24, oil
That's big
early
news.
25 gas, and the Mauritania. It's the same thing, and actually the two other countries are Guinea-Bissau and Gambia. Explorations are ongoing. So we became. Actually, that part of West Africa became part of the oil and gas club in the world. So that means in the future, there will be a higher and bigger purchase power here, and that means it's a country which shows a lot of interest.
I'm quite sure, and I remember one time when I had an interview with a guy in Angola. He said the hamburger or the McDonald's burger was the most expensive in Angola. So maybe
Yeah.
with oil and stuff, you will also have very high costs.
Yeah.
So, but that follows each other. How do you see, with what you mentioned about oil explorations and stuff, how do you see the development for your company and the year of 2026? Are you well positioned to compete with your whoever your competitors are?
Yeah, the one of the things also about oil and gas developments and growth is that draws interest from similar players around the world, which is a little bit sad because we don't have, unfortunately, yet protective laws for local content and for local players. So as soon as you hear about oil and gas, then you get to see all similar companies to my company. Stepping in to establish offices and to offer business, and then they don't do any investment, then they knock on our door to outsource. So again, it's the same story again. So yeah, the business have drawn larger competition. Yet we are a knowledgeable company, we are a local content company, and we know our way around. We are a very formal company, and we still get a piece of business. We are tooled and we're ready because one of the differences is that we invest. As an example, I mean, we own a large fleet of equipments, over 200 vehicles, including SPMTs and cranes, heavy cranes up to 500 ton capacity, SPMTs up to 400 ton capacity. So that gives us a position in the market which is not open to anybody else, let's say, if we look into competition. Another part is that we've invested heavily. So just to give an example, we own our own kind of dry port. So we have our own yard of around 40,000 square meter with warehouses, completely set and fit. It's under customs. So that gives us enough tools for us to be in the market and to compete. So yeah, it's a fight, it's a challenge, but we are here to hold our grounds, and we are here to take part of the business which is coming up.
I'm sure you are, and I know you have a good reputation, whoever who I speak to about Istanbul. One of the final questions I have is, you know, in the market that some ship owners now, they claim to be freight forwarders too, and they want to basically cut out the middleman. And my question is to you, do you see that in Africa as well, that some of the major shipping lines are making trouble for you as a logistics company when you want to ship something with them and they contact your customer direct? Has that started in Africa as well?
Yeah, that is also happening here.
Wow.
The problem is that you have traditional, let's say, long-standing relations with shipping lines where you master your clients, you know the cargo, you know the relationship, and you go hand by hand chartering or actually performing a coastal service or an international service together. And then you get into the spot ships coming around. You charter a ship or you offer cargo once, and then the next day they're knocking on the door of your client and bypassing you entirely. So yes, indeed, that's an issue. Unfortunately, we do not see any more of the code respect that we had in the industry, where
No.
you know each knows exactly its place and nobody's stepping on anybody's toes. That is gone. Where
Yeah.
the money is, everybody's fighting.
Yeah, that's true. What we can be happy about is that some of the shipping lines who claim to be forwarders, they just don't have the skills for it. And I hope that sometime when the customer really try that and they have a small claim or something and they get into that big machine where nobody cares, then they will come back to the forwarder, because we do forwarders do play a vital role in my opinion. But of course we have to be on our toes, right?
Yeah, correct, 100%. And indeed, that's what's happening, because people go and charter a ship in direct. The difference between a ship owner and a charter and a freight forwarder is freight forwarder is trying to create an environment which is a little bit balanced, protecting the client but also protecting the ship owner.
Yeah.
When a ship owner goes straight to the client and clients do not have the expertise and the knowledge when it comes to shipping terms, they put up a charter party which is very complex, and it's ununderstood, and it's not to the interest of the client. And as soon as there is demurrages, detentions, congestions, delays, client finds themselves paying a large amount of money, and then they regretted, why did we go straight directly with the ship? So the sea freight may be cheaper, but then everything around is not completely controlled, and therefore our role in between is still, you know, to maintain a balance and to protect the trade itself, the client
Definitely.
himself, and the ship owner himself. So yeah,
Definitely.
they learn the hard way, unfortunately.
Sometimes, you know, it helps to burn the finger only once.
Yeah,
Let's hope
I
so.
agree. I
But
agree.
listen, Ali, it's always a pleasure to meet you, and to hopefully many of the viewers here, I can say that I had not seen Ali for a couple of years, and then we bumped into each other recently in the airport of Madrid. I was coming from Chile, and he was coming from, I think, West Africa, actually.
Yeah, correct.
So that's how small the world is, as you alluded to. I want to say many, many thanks, Ali, for this wonderful interview. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bo. It was my pleasure, and it was also indeed very nice to bump into you. The world is small. We get to meet in planes and airports, and I'm looking forward to our next conference and next meeting where we can shake hands. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for having me
Definitely.
today.
Definitely, you're welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today has been the Managing Director of Istamco, Mr. Ali Issa. He's based in Dakar, Senegal. Istamco is a West African-based, very strong logistics and chartering company, knowing their way around with 200-plus employees in several countries, also in the interior of West Africa. So do contact with Ali if you have any questions and you want boots on the ground and not just somebody who claims to know Africa. He actually does. So thanks to him and for me in Project Cargo Weekly. Until next time, thank you very much.